Back with our guest tonight, Elvin Bishop.
I want to talk to you a little about the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. That was such a historic group that you were a part of. And Butterfield himself was an amazing guy.
Yeah.
When did you meet him?
I've been in the right place at the right time a whole lot. I don't know why. Good accidents keep happening to me, along with a few bad ones. But the first day I was in Chicago, I came from Oklahoma, and I was walking around the neighborhood, kind of my mind being blown by being in the big town there, you know. And I look over, and sitting on some steps in front of an apartment house was this white guy playing blues on a guitar. I said, wow, I never seen that before, you know. And he was drinking a quart of beer, and I went over there and started talking to him. It was Butterfield. And we just fell together right from there, because there wasn't maybe the fingers of one hand that many white people that cared anything about blues that I knew of, you know.
You guys were among the first white musicians to play that music in Chicago. How did the blues community in Chicago treat you at first?
Chicago then was not like Chicago is now, or like it became in the 70s and 80s. There were no gangs. There was no crack cocaine. It was more like a big southern city than it was there wasn't that hard, bitter edge to it like there is now, you know? And the guys were pretty nice to us. You know, naturally, you go in a blues club, you got to watch your back to a certain extent. You can't be no fool, you know? I would always, you know, go with a bunch of black guys, you know, and take it easy, you know. But I was from Oklahoma. If you go into those hillbilly bars back in those days, you had to watch it too, you know. So it wasn't that much different. When I started meeting the musicians, they were amazingly nice to me. Guys like Sammy Lawhorn and Otis Spann, Little Smokey Smothers.
My baby's long and tall, shaped like a cannonball. And every time she love me, now, man, you oughta hear me squall. God, woo-wee. Babe, I believe I'll change my mind. She said, I'm so glad I'm living. I cried, woo, child, I'm so glad you're mine. My baby, she loved me. She loved me right. She let me lay down in her loving arms all night. Crying, woo-wee. Babe, I believe I'll change my mind. She said, I'm so glad I'm living. I said, woo, child, so glad you're mine. My baby, she loved me. She loved me with a thrill. I don't believe she's trying to get nobody killed. Cried, woo-wee. Babe, I believe I'll change my mind. She said, I'm so glad I'm living. I said, woo, child, I'm so glad you're mine. Let me tell them what I'm talking about. My baby, she loved me. She loved me with a thrill. I don't believe she's trying to get nobody but me killed. Crying, woo-wee. Babe, I believe I'll change my mind. She said, I'm so glad I'm living. I cried, woo child, so glad you mine.
That's Elvin Bishop with James Cotton, Chicago, 1963.
Really, you know, it was the confrontation that two cultures were just meeting. You know, the whites and blacks were pretty seriously, there was a strenuous effort made to keep them apart up until that point. It was before civil rights. And you never knew when you meet a guy from the other race how he's going to handle it. Some guys can't handle it. And some guys, you know, like Smokey Smothers, boy, it was like talking to my brother, you know. It's like I always said, if the Martians land, I think we better send Smokey to talk to him, because he'll get along with anybody, you know.
Hey, Smokey.
Yeah.
You remember them places we used to go back in 1961, 62, and 63 on the South Side?
Oh, yeah. What about the Playhouse?
The play, that's where we won that bottle of whiskey at.
Yeah.
How about the Blue Flame, 39 yeah. Drexel?
Oh, man, that was a lot of fun. Did we have a lot of fun
out there? I tell you, Bubba, listen to them playing that low-down rotten gut blues.
Yeah, we used to listen to them. We used to play it, too.
Okay, can you still play that stuff?
I still play it.
Let me hear you.
Listen to that.
Enough to take me under your wing and try and teach me those first blues licks I learned.
Yes, and your head was just about as hard as a Japanese arithmetic and twice as thick.
That's square as a pool table and twice as green, that's right. I remember you used to take me in the kitchen and show me that pot of pinto beans and ham hocks and tell me, when you learn this tune, you can have some.
Yeah, and them black-eyed peas, too. Yeah, and did you ever learn how to play that thing?
I think so.
Well, let me hear you then.
He helped me so much when I was first starting out, and he was so friendly and nice. He'd have me over to his house all the time, and he very conscientiously taught me how to play. And I always loved and appreciated him for that. He was always a great player. He never had big-time exposure or anything, but he was a great player. He was respected by all the blues musicians in Chicago. His health got bad. He got diabetes. He lost one leg, and he lost the other leg. This was about a year ago. And he's in a wheelchair, and it's kind of a rough thing, you know. Your self-esteem takes a big hit. He's handling it better than most people, but he'll say stuff like, I don't think my suit's going to look right now, you know.
Oh.
But I figured he needed something to be cheered, and he needed to be cheered up a little bit, and he could use the money. So I went and rounded up some live tapes that we'd done over the years. So 94 Chicago Blues Fest, I think, and down in Mississippi, and put together a nice little CD with the help of Dick Sherman, who you know, and it's called Chicago Blues Buddies on Black Derby label, and you can get it through CD Baby or Blue Beat Music, and it sounds real good. It's Smokey at the top of his game.
The Butterfield Band is often best known for lead guitarist Mike Bloomfield. I've told you this before. Steve Miller, who was around Chicago at that time, has always told me that the Butterfield Band was at its absolute best when it was a four-piece Little Walter-styled unit with just Elvin on guitar. How long did that period last?
Couple of years, I guess. We played this place called Big John's on the north side of Chicago, which is white territory. They never had any blues to speak of up there. And I guess the guy just took a chance, and it became, the time was right, you know. And it became a huge hit. We played there for 2 years, 6 days a week. On Monday through Friday, you played from 9 o'clock till 4 in the morning, 45 minutes on, 15 minutes off. Saturday till 5 in the morning. That'll shape up your chops pretty quick there, you know. So we had a swinging four-piece thing, you know. There was no fat on it, that's for sure.
I was born in Chicago in 1941. Well, my father told me, son, you had better get a gun. Well, my first friend went down when I was 17 years old. Well, my first friend went down when I was 17 years old. Well, there's one thing I can say about that boy, he died
You know, you're talking about Butterfield being an amazing guy. Here's how amazing he was. When I met him, like I told you, he was playing guitar. He didn't play harmonica at all. And after I'd known him maybe 3 or 4 months, he said, you know, I like the way Little Walter's record sounds. I think I'll try the harmonica. And within 6 months, straight up to the stratosphere, as good as he was ever going to get. Just, I never seen anybody improve at anything that fast.
We'll be back with our guest tonight in the Basement Record Library, Elvin Bishop.